W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Ukraine says Russia carrying out the biggest air assault of the war to date shows no ceasefire is possible. The BBC's James Waterhouse.
I think this is a reminder from Vladimir Putin of Russia that he still wants the whole of the country and he is able to target the whole of the country in
Maine's
some way.
Secretary of State has decided former President Donald Trump should not be on the primary ballot because of his part in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
In her 34-page decision, Sheena Bellows wrote, "I am mindful that no Secretary of State has ever deprived a presidential candidate of ballot access based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. I'm also mindful, however, that no presidential candidate has ever before engaged in insurrection."
Have you decided on your New Year's resolutions? These people have.
I just want to, focus on myself and work out more.
I hope to get back to lose a little weight.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is rejecting a complaint to keep Donald Trump's name off next year's presidential ballots in Wisconsin. Minocqua activist Kirk Bangstad filed the complaint yesterday. The recusal is a matter of commission policy. Bangstad now says he'll file a lawsuit to keep Trump's name off Wisconsin ballots. High rates of flu, RSV, and COVID-19 persist in Wisconsin. State epidemiologist Dr. Tom Hout says he doesn't expect any letup until sometime next month.
We're really optimistic and hopeful that we will see peak activity in January along with the other viruses, and we will start seeing a decline shortly after that.
Two children under the age of 5 died from RSV in Wisconsin last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Bucks superstars Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton have expressed their gratitude and admiration for Herb Cole. Giannis emphasized that he will never forget Cole's kindness towards him and his family when they first arrived in Milwaukee, while Chris Middleton credited Cole as a significant factor in his decision to join the team and remain in Milwaukee. Both players described Cole as a kind and generous man who had a profound impact on the city of Milwaukee. The demolition of an old Burger King in West Allis, which was scheduled to start this week, has been postponed for 4 to 6 weeks. The delay is due to power still running to that building. We Energies needs to disconnect electrical lines before things can move forward. The city sued the fast food chain, citing the building as a blight to the community. The property is set to be turned into a grass lot. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Badgers hockey in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey team skated to a 3-0 shutout of Air Force to advance to the finals in the holiday face-off tournament at Milwaukee's Five Serve Forum. The Badgers improved to 15-4 for the season, ranked 6th in the nation. Tonight, they'll play Northeastern in the finals. Wisconsin head coach Mike Hastings on what it means to bring Badgers hockey to Five Serve Forum.
You know, we represent the entire state, not just Madison. And so for us to be able to go in and share what we have here and try and go in and represent the entire state in a different zip code, yeah, it's special.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I asked wide receiver Romeo Doubs on what to expect from Minnesota's defense.
Really experienced players on defense. You know, they love the pressure. That's been one of their biggest things throughout this year. It just comes down to us just playing good football overall. So.
That's Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy this morning. We will gradually become partly cloudy as we head through the afternoon. High today right around 41. The wind north gusting to 25 through about mid-morning, then backing down to around 5 to 15 through the rest of the day. Tonight, it'll be clear. Our low 27. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. Clouds in the afternoon. High of 39. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 32.
If you're looking for a different way to ring in the new year, Wisconsin has its own version of the Times Square ball drop. It's the Big Cheese Drop, a giant glittering wedge of Satori cheese lowered every year outside the art center known as the Times Square of Plymouth, Wisconsin, the cheese capital of the world. The celebrations include cheese tasting, music, games, and the Big Cheese Drop at 10. It's a family-friendly event. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, it's a couple days before the new year, and Sandy and I have been, you know, talking about, you know, where things are headed and where they were and where they're headed. You can join the conversation. Let's go to Kevin from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Kevin. You say what?
Hi. A couple of comments I want to make about the border wall, if we're still on that subject.
Absolutely.
First of all, the thing that Biden had done earlier, which I thought was great, allowing these people, if they try to cross illegally, would ban them from entering the country for 5 years, I thought was an excellent plan to possibly suppress this situation a little bit. But another thing I was wondering, and I'm sure somebody thought of this, but maybe it hasn't gotten any traction yet. You know, if they were to take a little bit more of this money that they're using down there for National Guard and building walls and everything else, that maybe if we took some of that money and actually came up with a system where everybody had to take their amount of people in, in other words, do it based on...
You mean cities and states. You mean states across the nation.
Right. Across the nation. Everybody does their part in everything. In other words, like however they would figure that, that, you know, per capita in the way of amount of people that they have in each state would base on how many people they would have to take as, you know, immigrants in, unless the people... required or had a sponsor from a particular state that they wanted to go to, you know, which would eliminate them from that situation. But, you know, putting money towards something that would work for everybody, to me, I mean, I understand, you know, what Texas and Florida are going through. I don't understand the people that are handling it. I think they're morons, as far as I'm concerned, in what they're trying to do. But, you know, something to this effect, I think, would be much more positive. You know, I can't believe it hasn't gotten any traction where everybody takes, every state takes the amount that they have to take.
Well, you know, I think what you're talking about is exactly the kind of discussion that ought to be occurring in Washington about processes that could help solve the problem. I mean, the problem is we have to address how many immigrants we want to allow into the country. We have to decide what standards we're going to apply to decide which of the immigrants come into the country, and then we have to decide how to assimilate them into the country after they get here. All three of those are difficult problems to solve, but the third one is the one that really involves material expense, and your idea is a very sound one. You know, I think what we need is Washington to just start applying common sense, as you have, to the situation, to the three tiers of this problem, and start working on it. You know, the idea of a wall solving it was just fallacious. It doesn't solve the number of people who want to come in. It doesn't solve the question of how many we ought to let in. It doesn't solve the problem of what standards we apply for letting them in. It doesn't solve the problem of staffing the portion of government that we need to have staffed to deal with all these problems. And it doesn't solve the problem of what to do with them after they get into the country as to how we assimilate them. So bravo to you. I think what you're describing is exactly the kind of conversation we need to start having.
Well, you know, as opposed to vilifying, hey, they're criminals coming in. That does nothing towards fixing the problem to mislead American people to believe there are a bunch of killers coming into the country and drug smugglers, and that's basically who's at that border. And so as long as people buy into that, we're never going to be able to work this thing out. And the other thing that I would say...
Well, here, let me just say, I think that politically speaking, one of the things that's happening here is that much like it was very sort of advantageous from a political standpoint to be very strongly against Roe v. Wade and to argue for decades about how it is that abortion needed to be outlawed in this country, once the dog caught that car, politically that was a problem. I think it's advantageous right now to be anti-immigrant and to argue and to feed the flames of the notion that there's a vast stream of immigrants coming in and endangering our country. That's advantageous politically to stoke fear and to stoke political reaction, and it isn't very advantageous to solve that problem. And what we need is for people to say, okay, let's solve the real problem. Let's not try to talk about a problem and magnify it to the point where it isn't appropriate, and let's talk about solving the issues.
Sandy, the fact that our nation needs immigrants. And so I don't think there's anybody, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789 is the number. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't understand that our nation needs those immigrants now and in the future in order for our nation to even be able to function.
Well, I mean, all one has to do is study the demographics of this country over the last 30 years to realize that immigration has been the source of population growth in this country, and that immigration has been the source of a very important demographic that is involved in employees in important sectors of the economy. And so, yes, that's an obvious fact. And what we've got now is a political process that's aimed at kind of it's a smokescreen. It's a smokescreen that is created out of the illusion that we and there is no doubt we have a problem at the border, and so people want to play that up to the point of just talking in broad brush terms about the dangers of immigration. And this conversation is going on worldwide because tribalism has reappeared, and we have to understand that a lot of this argument about immigration is a dog whistle, and what is it a dog whistle for? I think it's complicated.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, at some point in time to deal with that flow of immigrants to our border, we've got to go to the root causes of why they're leaving, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the hard part of it. But that's the only solution long term to address why these people are picking up and taking only the clothes on their back and walking through deserts to get to a place where, you know, they don't know if they're going to get in. There's something going on in those people's lives that we got to work towards fixing to stop the flow.
Yeah, immigration has always been about the delta, the difference between the situation the person is in and the opportunities they can see elsewhere. And when that delta gets great enough, they will pick up and move. And the main and the primary motivation to pick up and move is not the opportunity elsewhere. It's the danger or the difficulty of living where they live, because there's a great deal of inertia. There's plenty of reasons to stay where you live. There's grandparents, there's grandchildren, there's sisters, there's brothers, there's extended family, there's community. You don't leave those things without strong reason. And so then the question is, what are the strong reasons that are developing in the world? Well, it's world conflict. We have wars where we didn't have wars before. It's famine and problems with actual the day-to-day incidentals necessary for life. It's climate, and it's political duress. And so those things have increased, all of them. And with global climate change, we're going to see more of this. And with the instability of governments and the increase in warfare that's going on in pockets of the world, you know, we didn't have a lot of Mideasterners living in the United States until we embarked on Mideastern wars, until that became a hotbed of warfare and people began to leave. And the same is true of the Vietnamese population in this country. It's interesting, but the wars we have generated a large number of immigrants to our shores.
Let's go to John from Bowles. Good morning to you, John. You say what?
Good morning. It's Boaz.
Boaz.
I would like to say, and because it's the freedom of speech, the First Amendment, that the thing about the immigration that I'd like you guys to hear is the fact that you can count on one hand of all the Mexican nationals have murdered our American citizen.
So, John,
let's let him finish. Wait.
Go ahead.
So, you need to let everybody know that the big reason that we're forgetting about, it's the same people that hang on to Trump's shirt tails. Thank you very much, and back to you.
Well, yeah. I think John was saying, just to make understand, you were saying there's a very small number of Mexican immigrants who have killed Americans. You said you could count them on one hand. You were not reciting what Trump is saying, which is that there's a whole flock of criminals coming into the country. Is that correct? I'm just trying to understand.
So John is gone.
Oh, well, I think that's what he was saying. And I think that's the accurate. I think what we need to deal with is facts and not simply things that are stated that are believable but not facts.
Well, so when I hear people say, well, you know, all those criminals are coming, America has its own criminals.
No, but I think John was not saying that.
I know John's not saying that.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about others who use those lines. They're coming into our, you know, America has its own.
I think what's happened is that there are these terrible gangs. No, there's just terrible Latino gangs that have come in and have perpetrated a great deal of gang problems. But the fact is that when you look at the numbers of immigrants from the South and you look at the pattern of crimes that they've committed, I think the data supports the fact that they are actually a more law-abiding population than the population of America at large, that this is actually a very law-abiding population.
Well, when the sheer numbers that of people talking about the increase of crime and all those kind of things in a society is just not true. We got to talk about that on the other side. 844-967-2789.
From rags to riches, my fate is up to.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to the Shaw, WAUK.
Free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to the Shaw, WAUK.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabonds.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. You know, it's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host Sandy Whip. Sandy. Elections, voting, you know, I don't believe that there are more Americans who believe that these are the solutions to our issues through voting, through elections. I just believe that there, and more people who I talk to are frustrated with that whole system, excuse me, that electing people to represent us, this is a representative government, and the people don't see themselves being represented. And so how do we, Sandy, get people? We tell them it's a representative government, and the way our government is set up, we elect people who take care of the business for us, but we don't seem to believe that they are going to take care of any of the things even after we elect them, Sandy. And the way the system is set up, you know, three separate branches of government, and then you've got, and you can have the Democrats like we have right now in control of the presidency and the Senate, and the Republicans in control of the House, or if it's vice versa, and nothing gets done. Is there a time or a way that we can look at the way that's set up and maybe there's something we need to do to move things around
We need to change the conversation, and the conversation needs to be a clear conversation about the things that Tom, Dick, and Mary need, and we spend so much of our conversation on sparkling objects. Not that the things that we talk about don't seem important or aren't important in and of themselves in some respect, but they aren't important to the fundamental issues that are challenging Tom, Dick, and Mary day to day, like child daycare, like healthcare accessibility and healthcare costs, you know. But if there was if there are debates, I guarantee you that the Republican debates are not going to be talking about these issues. They're going to talk about other issues. They're going to talk about somewhat about foreign affairs. They're going to talk about things, but they aren't going to talk about the things that challenge Tom, Dick, and Mary. And we're going to elect people who haven't been required to talk about it or to make any promises about it. They go off to Congress. And in Congress, they have the darkness of night to operate under. We don't have a press corps anymore that follows things very closely and tells us what's going on.
So you think Tom, Dick, and Mary understand that?
I think that what we need is to activate Tom, Dick, and Mary much more than we do. And that's going to require leadership. It's going to require young and vigorous leadership, charismatic leadership, people who are going to talk about the things that might be possible, the things that are problems and the things that might be possible for the solutions to those problems, and we need to start pressing ahead. We need to change the priorities of Washington. Right now, the priorities of Washington are dictated from within Washington and from the Beltline, from the K Street, and it's just the things that they choose to address, and it usually relates to money. So it relates to tax cuts if you're a Republican. It relates to international affairs and to defense budget, and what else? You know, then we end up with social issues, things that activate people emotionally, but don't have to do with Tom, Dick, and Mary's travails day to day.
So younger people, Sandy, and many of them college educated, don't see their future in the way our government is moving and acting right now. And I've talked with many of them who clearly don't even want to vote. They're saying it doesn't matter to me.
Well, this is all part of this. This is part of this populist movement. It's frustration. Okay. If you're frustrated with the system, you can become anti-establishment. You can become passively anti-establishment. You can throw in the towel and quit, or you can become angrily anti-establishment and become a populist who wants to elect someone who simply expresses your anger. But we need to get people refocused in constructive ways on realizing their situation and realizing that the situation is soluble, okay? It is subject to being solved. If we put people in the government who change the priorities of government, who decide they want to address things like the cost of child daycare and the support of it, like the cost of post-secondary education, like the accessibility and cost of health insurance or health care.
Sandy, people want these things fixed now. And they don't see, well, if we go through the process, it's going to take, you know, a decade before these things get worked out to where it makes a difference in my life.
You see, that's what you just expressed, was the frustration that leads people towards one, populism, and two, autocracy. People believe autocrats don't have to go through that process. They can simply announce things by fiat and make them happen. The problem is that when you get an autocrat in power, they don't usually look out for the interests of the people.
So for people who
they're
don't
looking
know,
out for the interests of the privileged.
So for people who don't know the definition of an autocrat.
A dictator, a person who's got control of government. Vladimir Putin might not be a dictator. He's an autocrat.
And
he's got control of power.
But here's the other part of it, Sandy. How is it possible in the United States of America that an autocrat could be on the precipice of taking control of the government? How is that even? You and I would have never conceived of that ever happening.
I can assure you that in 1932, no one thought that could happen in the Reichstag. With the Reichstag there and the parliamentary process they had in place, checks and balances would never have allowed what ended up happening. And that's the case in almost every country. Every country has a governmental structure that has democratic principles that you wouldn't think could be easily overtaken. But all it takes is a populace to either turn their back on and ignore or become excited about and enthusiastically pursue the leadership of a single person as the leader who will get them out of the woods.
You know, Sandy, I just don't believe that people think this can happen. I honestly think that they don't.
I think that that's true. And I read an article that said, you know what, in almost every case, the majority of people who were in the establishment in a position to be influential thought that what the autocrat, the guy who became the dictator, was saying was a joke, that he was joking, that he was only speaking in hyperbole, that he was saying the things necessary to stir up the audience and to get them excited, but that wasn't really what they wanted and what they were going to do. And they turned out to be wrong. That is what the person was going to do. That is what they wanted. And I fear that that's what's going on today, that people believe that, for instance, Donald Trump's remonstration against the government, the notion that he's going to tear down the government, is viewed as hyperbole.
But
it's not something he's going to do, except that he's got policy people in place. He's already described a process in which he's going to eliminate 15,000 workers essentially on day one. That's tearing down the government. We don't have someone in place to build it back up again.
And also the fact that here's a man who wants to take over the military himself and make decisions on whether or not the military can interact with the American people. 844-967-2789. We'll return.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Oh.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's economy ended the year in good shape. The state's unemployment rate is 3.3%. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development says a record 3 million people plus were working in Wisconsin at the end of November. The Journal Sentinel reports the biggest problem with Wisconsin's economy is not enough workers to fill job openings. Toys should be safer than ever. Congress passed tougher regulations in 2008, but experts are still urging parents to inspect their kids' holiday gifts.
Especially if you're talking about a younger child, but inspect that toy, make sure that none of the parts have come loose. Nothing could come off that could endanger them or be a choking hazard.
Teresa Murray is with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has resumed abortions at its Sheboygan Clinic. It comes after a judge ruled that the 1849 abortion law refers to feticide and not abortion. Pro-life protesters gathered near the clinic as it opened yesterday. The Sheboygan County District Attorney plans to appeal the Dane County judge's decision, and the case may reach the Wisconsin Supreme Court. A Milwaukee TSA worker was arrested and charged with possessing images of child sexual assault after making comments about sex slaves and purchasing a 16-year-old girl. 61-year-old Todd McLaughlin was taken into custody following a search warrant at his South Milwaukee home, where police allegedly found him viewing the illicit material. The investigation was initiated based on information provided by McLaughlin's co-workers, who reported concerning statements he made while at work. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Roll into this Friday night and strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. A Friday night live music party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes until midnight every Friday night. And the best part of this party? There's no cover charge. While you're having fun, grab dinner and take advantage of $2 off all sandwiches on Friday night. This Friday night, enjoy the music and fun of Bail Jumpers. 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Call 262-544-2010 or check out foxviewlanes.com.
Badgers hockey in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey team skated to a 3-0 shutout of Air Force to advance to the finals in the holiday face-off tournament at Milwaukee's Five Serve Forum. The Badgers improved to 15-4 for the season, ranked 6th in the nation. Tonight, they'll play Northeastern in the finals. Wisconsin head coach Mike Hastings on what it means to bring Badgers hockey to Five Serve Forum.
You know, we represent the entire state, not just Madison. And so for us to be able to go in and share what we have here and try and go in and represent the entire state in a different zip code, yeah, it's special.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I asked wide receiver Romeo Doubs on what to expect from Minnesota's defense.
Really experienced players on defense. You know, they love the pressure. That's been one of their biggest things throughout this year. It just comes down to us just playing good football overall. So.
That's Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A dreary, cloudy start to the day, gradually becoming mostly bright and beautiful, though, as the sunshine takes over. And the temperatures, well, they'll spike back to flirting with 40 degrees. And tomorrow looks wonderful. Mostly sunny skies, highs in the upper 30s. Currently, it's 32.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Oh, the good life. Fun seems to be the ideal.
Sandy, what happened to those great times?
They're ahead. Day after tomorrow.
That's what people are looking for.
Yeah.
Oh, back when life was easy, right?
When it was simpler.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. People actually lived during those times. That was real.
You know, I think that the standard of living was didn't require as many things or as much stuff or as much wealth, and the world was a little different.
Yeah, then. People were happier. 844-967-2789 is the number. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, in this whole conversation, I guess what the part that's frustrating for me is this. And the reason why people are very frustrated with the government is twofold. Number one, during COVID, if you look between local, states, federal level, look at what happened during COVID. Look at the policies that were put in place that made people essential versus non-essential. You literally screwed up supply chain issues because the country shut down. Literally millions of people were without a job. And consequently, kids couldn't go to school. You couldn't see loved ones in your senior centers. And we're supposed to trust these individuals at both the local, state, and the federal level.
So David, let me ask you, before, and I'll let you go ahead. But so what would you have suggested in the midst of people dying like flies and people looking for someone to show leadership? I know I was. I didn't have the answers. And so the government is the place that we all had to look to help us get through that. Individually, what could we do?
Well, actually, I would say that it was a time when the government was very fragmented and wasn't providing a lot of leadership. There weren't federal mandates. There were federal suggestions, and there were local mandates. What happened with respect to most of the restrictions were locally mandated. So it was local government, the government closer to the people, that was putting most of the restrictions in place. And yes, I think that there was a great deal of frustration. First of all, you have to understand, if you put yourself back in time, how much uncertainty and lack of knowledge there was at the time. So it's kind of like the jury that's required to figure out whether someone was negligent or not. The jury has to be asked to go back in time to think about and put yourself in the situation that the decision makers were in at the time, and not on Monday morning in retrospect. But there's no question there was a great deal of frustration, but there was also a great deal of ambiguity about who to aim the frustration at, because in fact there were almost no federal restrictions imposed whatsoever.
You know, Sandy.
Dave, you agree with that, right?
Not completely, because if you look at the federal level, you were not able to enter the country back into the country legally.
Look, there were federal restrictions, but none of the ones you described were actually imposed earlier. None of those were imposed by the federal government. Those were all local restrictions imposed locally, and there was a patchwork. Different locales had different restrictions.
So, Sandy, how do we, Dave, get from there? Because there's still people who hold on to that and blaming the government for that. And so there are people who say, well, Joe Biden was in charge at that point in time, and so, you know, this is Joe Biden's thing, you know.
No, Joe Biden wasn't in charge during that time, actually. It was Trump.
During Trump.
But, I mean, the fact is that we've underfunded government. We probably underfunded the CDC, which was the font of knowledge at that point. And people want to point at Dr. Fauci as being the source of the problem in terms of information or lack of information or misinformation. But
part of the problem with government lately has been its lack of competence, but part of its lack of competence has come from the fact that it's been disrespected and underfunded, so that FEMA has failed frequently, okay? FEMA fails frequently. We need a government that's competent, but in order to have a competent government, we have to have people who applaud the notion of government and are willing to abide by making sure that it is run competently. We've interrupted you, Dave, but it sounds like you're trying to make all of this the case for the proposition that people are frustrated with government. I will agree with that. And I will agree that the failure of government to deliver when it should deliver has increased the frustration, but we should look at the root cause of that as to, you know, why is it failing to deliver when it should deliver?
And we should also say there's some people who are frustrated with government. It's not all. Dave, quickly.
Okay, so, you know, here we have currently the Biden administration is going to sue the governor of Texas for enforcing the border. Which should be
That's not what he's suing him for. The lawsuit has to do with whether the state of Texas has the right to have a patchwork law in the face of the immigration laws that are federal. And we've already had a Supreme Court case on that, and the Supreme Court ruled that there was federal preemption with respect to immigration law.
So we got a full bank of calls. Dave, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. I think the big thing with this whole immigration thing, yes, it is messed up, but also they being frustrated with the government, I think, is more of it's always the same thing. And it's the Republicans who keep blaming the Democrats, but the Republicans never come up with a solution, because if they did, it's like Roe v. Wade. They finally, after 50 years, they got it overturned. Well, now the Republicans are losing elections left and right, because that's not what the public wanted. That's what they wanted. And it's also media instilling fear in everyone, the way the Republicans love it. I just saw yesterday on a news blog from Fox, and I didn't read it because it's from Fox, but it said 18,000 people in a caravan are headed this way. Again, the caravans are starting up, which I said at the beginning of this year that we're going to be seeing the caravans soon, because I never believed that was totally real. And once Biden got in, all of a sudden the caravans disappeared and we never heard a thing about it. And Fox being Fox, why would they stop doing that? Because now they can bring it up and keep the public living in fear of all this. And that's what I'm tired of. I want solutions. I don't want to live in fear anymore.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Jim from Eden. Good morning to you, Jim. You say what?
Yes. Good morning. I have another example why people have a hard time trusting the government. On a different note, the Audrey Haley incident that happened in March of this year, and
remind us of what that is.
When she went into the school, the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee, and shot three children and three adults. There was a manifesto, that was not allowed to be given out to the public, and that brings skepticism, towards the government. It did come out, it was leaked out. In November of this year, and nothing more is said, but she clearly said, I'm going in there because of whites. Whites are evil, and I'm going to do away with them. Why isn't that talked about? Those are the things that, make us just question, where is our government? What are they trying to hide?
Let me say, you pick out one incident. There's other incidents where people went in and slaughtered, black people in churches. We can't go by individual situations and blame the entire government for what one person has done. I mean, to blame the government and say the government should have been able to do something to address that. Sandy, your thoughts?
Well,
Well, I think his point was that this manifesto, to the extent I'm not aware of the whole situation, that it was suppressed, and that why was it suppressed, and was it suppressed to hide the fact that this was a black on white racial crime, if it was. But I don't know. My view is that a mountain would be made out of that molehill in a way that might actually be sort of a dog whistle kind of an issue in terms of, I don't know what police department that was or what, but there haven't been very many black on white crimes that have ever been described as hate crimes. And on the contrary side, there have been quite a few in the other direction.
But to blame the government for that.
Well, he's blaming the government for suppressing it and saying right. that it's basically, I mean, that's part of the elite theory, that the elite is trying to hide those kind of issues.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
I see there's a wizard, like in The Wizard of Oz, behind the curtain. And there's a lot of people that know what's going on in our country and manipulate the people. I really do. The people that got the big money, just like what they did in the election where Ron Johnson got back in. Big money was in there, and they wanted Johnson back in office. You know, I watched as Walker took over the state of Wisconsin. I call it a takeover. You know, and he knocked down all of the pillars of safety for our elections, for civil service, for all these different things, moved a lot of the decisions to Walker's office, and they took it away, of course, when Governor Evers won. But they destroyed the pillars that protect democracy and the people in our state. Well, it was going on here, and I thought, you know, this is really odd, because they would pass laws that didn't even have authors on it. I thought, what is going on here? So I started looking in other states. I thought, is anybody seeing this? And so I started looking in other states, and I thought, holy Moses, they're doing the same thing. I think it was in North Carolina, Ohio, and I thought, Jesus, odd. And then I looked back farther, and then I saw that they tried to do something with busing in one of the states, you know, because, you know, they didn't like the busing situation, tried to return it to what it used to be, and the people protested and got them out of there, these people on the school board. And I thought, man, who's controlling all this stuff? Then I started looking up ALEC. And then I started looking at how the people that represent us that have an R after their name were belonging to ALEC, and they all get together down there. And then there was people that have went in there who were not Republican and started reporting back what was going on in ALEC. Now, I noticed that a lot of the states that had ALEC influence, Koch Brother and Americans for Prosperity, and these people are very, very active. They know how to get people riled. They know how to spread the lies. You know, it made me just sick, because I started listening to all the different radio stations. And I'd listen, and I used to be in an area where I could get a lot of stations, but then I lived in a rural area. And I document starting early morning, because in Wisconsin, public radio was being manipulated, you know.
So, Gene, I wish we had more time, but thank you very much for the call. Sandy, what it does denote is, if you listen to the last bank of callers, that division.
Well, it's frustration. I mean, I think people who are frustrated with the inability of government to solve problems have different ways to react and different ways to vent their frustration. They can vent it angrily, and then the question is who to blame. And you can blame different. You can point your blame in different directions, but the more angry you are, the less likely you are to be rational in that process. And I think that's what's clearly happened in our government, is that rationality has been taking a back seat.
844-967-2789. Got to take a short hiatus.
Remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder, wake up, kiss the good life goodbye.
The
The Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're nobody till somebody loves you.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of, you know, the 2023 Earl and Sandy, show. Sandy, you know, we just got through talking with a whole bank of people, and this is what is frustrating to me and worrisome to me, is that we have one side that says, okay, we can't trust the government because, as Dave said, you know, they shut down everything, you know, they made all these mandates as if the sky wasn't falling at that point in time. And I was glad that the government made a decision. And, you know, as you stated, people who lived in the cities.
Well, I'm saying, you know, it wasn't the government. And I think that one of the things that the people have become confused about is the extent to which the federal government had anything whatsoever to do with shutting down
all
restaurants.
States, right.
And it was actually cities. It was municipalities that were making the decision. And I think one of the reasons it became politicized was it was cities that had dense populations. It was cities that had the main problem of spread of COVID. It was cities whose hospitals were getting overwhelmed with COVID. It was cities that had the problem and had to make the decisions. And they were the ones who imposed these limitations and restrictions. And it was, and they were all basically, you know, it's true that our large urban areas governments are fundamentally Democrat controlled. And so I think that was the pistol, that was the smoking gun, that when there was a realization on the part of the conservatives that it's these Democrats in these cities that are doing this, and they made it a political issue. You can remember Donald Trump started making wearing a mask a political issue.
Right.
And, you know, wearing a mask was the least of it. You know, then there was shutting down restaurants and restricting going to work in workplaces.
The CDC, can't trust them.
Yeah. But incidentally, it was localities making these decisions. And most people would agree that the more local the government, the more likely it is that the people have input into what it is that's being decided.
You know, again, people see it through a different prism. I know, and you know, and those of us who live in cities or near cities, people are on top of one another. And so the death rates of those dying from COVID were certainly a lot higher than they were for people who lived in rural areas because people are concentrated.
Yeah, I have a daughter-in-law who worked in the emergency rooms during that period and just talked to a hospital worker about whether or not there should have been restrictions and masks. And you'll find out that there was pretty near unanimity about that. I mean, there were some notorious exceptions to that got a lot of publicity, but most of healthcare workers were in unanimity about the need for restricting people's contact with one another during the period when COVID seemed to be such
so
a potential horror.
Sandy, I can't say what I don't understand is why they're still hanging on to that, but I do know it's political. Because I'm an American. I was around during that same time.
No,
I'm long since not talking about what happened with COVID and shutting things down.
Well, I mean, Dave brought it up and pointed out that it was a reason. And I would agree with him that it has contributed and has been one of the things that has been used by those who are attacking government. People who are attacking government are looking for every way to try and hold it in low repute and to denigrate the fact that government fails. The problem with that is they don't propose
anything
in exchange for government. So do we want to get rid of the CDC? Do we want to not have a communicable disease center commission? No. We need one of those. Do we want to have a federal Bureau of Investigation or a federal police department? We better have one to enforce federal laws. Do we need courts to decide civil and criminal disputes? Absolutely. We need to have that. So if you attack these pillars of our democracy, you better have an end game, a solution that is somehow better than what it is you're attacking, because these are fundamentally important things to our society. The FDA, fundamentally important to us with respect to our food and our drugs. The SEC that does our financial imposes financial restrictions on us is what makes us the financial center of the world.
But so when we talk about government and all the ills of it, like you stated, law enforcement, the military, we support that part of government. Right. But the rest of them.
Well, law enforcement has detractors, but it's not patriotic, apparently,
right,
to be a detractor. But I mean, there are people who think there ought to be reforms about the way we handle that. I think that all of this ought to be the subject of discussion. We ought to be like corporations and working on Six Sigma, continual improvement. We ought to make sure that government gets better and better. And I fear what's happening right now is an assault on government that promises to make it worse and worse. If we want to have a country that is at what it can be, then we ought to be looking for continual improvement, and particularly continual improvement in our government.
You know, Sandy and I are going to be starting this spring. We're going to be moving around the state. We're going to get to many of our radio stations, civic media radio stations, and do shows from the different stations as well as meet many of you. So it's going to be an exciting time as 2024 comes into existence. But in the interim, that old axiom, for 2023, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. 2023. We will see you all again in 2024. Thank all of you who followed us this year. Thank all of you who helped us make the show go. Thank you, Kevin. As I said, man, you're an integral part of what we do, and look forward to having you back. Everybody be safe. We will see you next year. Up next, Greg Bach and
Jane
Madner, and As Goes Wisconsin. Happy New Year.
Same, you never change it. As sure as the stars shine above. Well, you're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love.
Home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The mission of the Milwaukee LGBT Community Center is to further develop the vibrant lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community in the greater Milwaukee area. And they've been doing it for 25 years. The center delivers education, health promotion, and other community building services, meeting the needs of LGBT youth, adults, and their allies in the greater Milwaukee area. All powered by your generosity. Get to mkelgbt.org to see where your end-of-year donations can make magic happen all year long.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.